We return now to the year after the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida. Orlando, emotionally strong and prepared for the worst terrorist mass shooting in U.S. history, as people in the community pull together in love and caring, while at the same time law enforcement may not have been as prepared. And here's a fascinating detail. For many families of those killed or wounded at Pulse, a language barrier magnified the terror and uncertainty of that night. With only 6 interpreters at Orlando Regional Medical Center and a shortage of Spanish speakers at the 911 call center, non-English speakers were dependent on bilingual friends, family members, and volunteers to determine whether their loved ones had survived. The city has discovered a serious gap in Spanish-speaking staff for mental health resources as well. Crystal Chavez is a reporter with WMFE in Orlando. She spoke to some of the people who witnessed the struggle of non-English speakers in the aftermath of the shooting.
From the time it started, people were rushed to Orlando Regional Medical Center. And many of these people, it was Latinite, were Latin or African American, and many of them spoke English, the club goers themselves. There were a handful that needed interpreters at the hospital. A couple of them were in critical condition. So that was where the hospital puts its interpreters. Where the need was in the family room, where you had families that are watching the news, or watching CNN, or hearing NPR, and they're trying to get word on their loved one, and they talk about the waiting and the waiting. And if you knew English, you had an upper hand. And there are stories about people having to translate for other family members, and just this chaos in the family room and this waiting and not knowing the language, it just sounds like a scary situation.
And in a situation like this, if you're missing one piece of information, it could be gibberish. And having someone say over and over again, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right, can be, magnifying the trauma.
Even more than that, sometimes people would hear a name on a list, but they didn't know if that list meant they're in the hospital or they're not in the hospital or if they're dead.
So what does the community, in terms of taking lessons from this, try to do to think about this?
Well, right away, some community members started seeing who the crying moms and dads were, and they created organically this group called Proyecto Somos Orlando. We are Orlando Project. And they immediately started just getting a website up, telling people where they can find resources in town in Spanish, Hispanic family counseling. They have bilingual counselors. So in that way, these new organizations sprung up that really weren't there before to serve people at the intersection of Latino and LGBT.
And let's hear for a moment some of the individuals who are directly involved in this language barrier problem. Here's someone who was really talking about the very, very beginnings of what happened a year ago.
They didn't have anyone when this all started who could translate to those who didn't understand. They were lost. It was, well, like a movie.
That woman's voice you're hearing, she lost her cousin who was like a brother to her. And she's the person in the family. This family's from Puerto Rico, and she's the one that had the task of going and getting the information. And she talks about being frustrated with the police, being frustrated with the hospital officials, and then having to be the message relayer to the family. His mom flies over from Puerto Rico. The confirmation of his death happens while the mom is flying over here. And now Lolly has to tell the mom. And so she meets the mom at the airport, and she said she knew right away from the look on her face.
Here's another individual who describes just how it can feel like being buried alive when there's a communication difficulty on top of the fear and trauma of an event like what happened a year ago.
You don't always have to be strong. If there's a moment when the situation gets too overwhelming, stop, breathe, and when you're ready for that step to get help, we're available, as are many other agencies in the area.
He was also a Pulse survivor. He was in the outside bar area mingling when all of this happened, and he's still seeing a therapist to this day. He talks about that every week. He sees his therapist, and he's also saying that that there are going to be a lot of triggers today on the one-year anniversary, some of these big tributes And he's saying that the Pulse survivors, everybody grieves and handles this on their own way. Some people want to stay home today and just reflect quietly. Some people want to be around others and feel that love. And he's just saying when you see a trigger, stop and take care. Self-care is important.
Tell me about Brandon.
Brandon owns a gay bar named Savoy, and it's not this big club like Pulse, but it's more laid back. But initially, right after the attack, people were scared and on edge, so he had security in the first few weeks. After, fast forward to a year later, he doesn't have that security. He's like, we can't afford it. And it doesn't come cheap. But everyone he talks about is still very aware of their surroundings. They look at the exits.
See something, say something. You hear that all the time. And people do. Like, you know, we don't allow backpacks in here anymore for obvious reasons, but we had someone bring one in and set it down. Well, he was a regular. I knew him personally, but you know, somebody saw it and immediately alerted the bartender and staff. So, you know, people are definitely more vigilant and more aware, I think, now.
So many people we've talked to who, you know, wonder why they're alive, who are asking the questions why their brother or sister had to die. And Orlando Torres is just like so many of them.
No matter what, everybody has a number. We don't know it. In history, everybody has a number. It wasn't my number that night, you know. So you're not going to stop living life. You're not going to live in a shell. Thank God it's building back up. People are accepting what transpired and taking a chance, you know, and coming out.
How have you thought about this?
Right. So he says that it's building back up. The crowds are building back up. People are starting to feel safe enough to go out. Not everyone. There's some survivors who everyone says will stay in their apartment, haven't really got out much. But then you have Orlando Torres, who is determined not to let this stop him from celebrating birthdays and family events and being at the club where he feels he can be mostly himself. You don't always get that kind of acceptance in work or school if you're a member of the LGBT community. He used to be a club promoter for Latin Nights at Pulse, and he was a paid promoter. But now he kind of promotes for the other Latin Nights that have sprung up around town to kind of take up Latin Night. Some other clubs are doing that. What is a real story no one's talking about is the hip-hop nights that were frequented by the Black community. Those really haven't started up again in the way Latin Nights have.
Crystal Chavez is a reporter at WMFE right here in Orlando.
Thank you for having me.
Since the shooting, Orlando Regional Medical Center has hired many more Spanish interpreters, and hospital plans to have them wear vests, clearly identifying them as Spanish speakers. You can hear more from Crystal's story or any other part from a pair of special podcasts produced by WMFE, one in Spanish, Orlando, Un Año Después, and one in English, Life After Pulse. Find them at WMFEindepth.org/podcasts on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.